It's out of control. But we're having a lot of fun here on this final broadcast day. For me, not for these people, the show will go on, and it's going on right now. This is our Smart Garden Show, and in studio, as promised, Julie Wisenhorn from the U of M and John Trappi from the U of M. We promised lawn and garden talk like we did. It's great to see you guys.
Yeah, great to see you, too.
Wonderful to see you, Dan.
And John, I don't think John has ever been in studio here. Have you?
Yeah.
Was it
that long ago that we forgot?
So it had to be 6 years ago.
Yeah, it's quite a while.
Wow,
but it's great to be back.
Well, it's great to have you in studio. This is quite a nice surprise with all these smiling faces here. It's quite moving. It is appreciated. And it's also appreciated, our listeners do, that you and Julie already saw, John, some text questions that came in between some nice, wonderful comments. And we're going to get to those. 651-461-9226. You know the number. If you want to call in and talk to Julie and John, great. But again, as I mentioned earlier, since John is joining Julie, take advantage, right, Julie?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm just going to sit back and have my tea here. So.
Right. Any lawn questions, John will feel those, and Julie has all the rest. So call us or text us, and you know how busy we get here on 830-WCCO. Okay, let's kind of pick up, because earlier this morning, as you know, Julie and John, they do come in before the show starts. The texts do. Let's see if I can find that. Here's a 10-year-old peony tree, moved 2 years ago for more sun. A very little left of the tree, but more shoots are growing around it with buds. Should I let them bloom or cut them back in hopes the tree will come back? I can tell by the leaves they are not the original tree.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. So they probably grew from the rootstock, because those peony trees, I believe, are grafted. So at this point, you probably won't get the same peony tree that you had before. You'll get something else. So you can wait and see what happens, or you can go ahead and dig it up and get yourself a new peony tree.
Okay, very good. I'm trying to jump around a lot of these comments here, and we just did that one. How about a thimbleberry bush? A friend gave me, texter says, 3 thimbleberry bushes. I've had them in the ground for 4 years, but no berries are being produced. Although they're spreading, what can I do to encourage the fruit?
Oh, probably a little bit of fertilizer would help. Also, some good pruning might help, too, to be sure that you're getting enough light into some of those leafy areas. The other thing about plants is at some point, particularly with fruits, is it takes a while for them to mature. So I think patience, some good care would be recommended, and just kind of wait and see still.
All right, very good. We've got another Julie in Minneapolis on the line. Julie, good morning. What is your question?
Hello. Yes, I have some amaryllis, I think they're called, and on bulbs, with bulbs. And they haven't bloomed this year. So I don't want to throw them out. But do I fertilize them? Or now all the leaves, they're all green. Do I just wait till they die and not water them anymore? What should I do?
So with amaryllis during this time of year, the best thing to do is put them outside in a kind of part shady area. They don't need to be, you don't want to put them from indoors right out into full sun, but kind of work them into, you know, start in a shady spot and then acclimate them to the conditions and let them grow through the summer. You could do a little fertilization, but just watering them and taking care of them like a regular plant. And then in the fall, go ahead and move them into a dark location, stop watering them, take them out after about 12 weeks and put them in a sunny window and start watering them. They should start to set a bud. Basically, you're going to build up the energy in the bulb for next year's blooming by keeping them outside and allowing them to photosynthesize through the summer, and then giving them a dormancy period, a rest period in the fall, and then taking them out, putting them in the house in a sunny window in the winter. We have a great webpage on extension.umn.edu. And if you go to our houseplant section in Yard and Garden, you'll find a really good webpage on just what I talked about, and that will help you with care for that amaryllis.
Very good. I'm going to get back to the phones in a second. And, Michael, you're calling in from Colorado. We're going to get to you in just seconds. But I wanted to ask John Trappi. I'm a little concerned looking at the forecast and about not only my lawn, but everyone else's. This summer could be kind of iffy.
Yeah, it's shaping up to look a little rough. But We're still early enough in the growing season. I think they'll have plenty of time to develop root systems and be ready for the rest of the summer. We still have plenty of June left. But with these higher temperatures, try to avoid doing too much. Maybe if it's over 85 or so, don't fertilize your lawn. Try to avoid mowing it unless it really needs it. But just pay attention to what your lawn's showing you. If it's looking rough, if it's wilting, or just kind of declining, just try to give it some rest and hope for the best.
Yeah, and we do look good in the forecast, maybe toward the end of the week, expecting some showers. Let's grab another phone call. Ryan, Michael's calling in from somewhere in Colorado. Michael, where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi, Denny. First of all, it's such an honor to speak with you. I'm calling from Denver, Colorado, and I just first of all wanted to say, thank you for the life-changing impact you've had, and congratulations on your retirement. And, could I ask you a question real quick, Denny, before I got to my lawn question?
Sure.
If that would be okay. When you were first starting out in radio, like, what were your goals? What did you want to accomplish? And do you feel like you've kind of accomplished those goals throughout your career?
Interesting question. When I first started, was in a small town called Webster City, Iowa, and I was there for 4 months, and I thought, this is crazy. This is what this business is about. I'm never going to make it, because I didn't like it at that particular situation. And I ended up leaving there, but going to Owatonna, Minnesota, and a great management and a great station there, and that totally turned me around. And I continued to do that as I moved back home here to the Twin Cities. Did I reach my goal? I would say so. I mean, to be here at WCCO Radio, one of the greatest, there's a reason they call it a heritage station. And I feel so fortunate and so lucky. My timing was so good that I ended up here. Yeah, I say, and I probably would still be here maybe for a little while longer had it not been for, quite honestly, a medical diagnosis. That changed my plan. But still, we're going to go on. I feel I don't need any particular rewards. I work for one of the best stations in the country. So interesting question. Thanks for asking. Now, about a garden question.
Yeah, well, thank you, first of all. It's an honor. I'm actually a younger person. I'm 30 years old, and I've loved talk radio for a long time. And I read an article about your career on Talkers Magazine, and I just wanted to call in and offer my, profound thanks and gratitude to you, Denny. So thank you. And, yeah, my lawn question, I was going to ask, here in Colorado, we have this thing called ground ivy. It pops up a lot in lawns. I was going to ask, what's the best time to kind of like apply some kind of fertilizer to take care of that? And would it be safe to pull those out manually as it gets closer to the end of summer? Or would you recommend applying fertilizer as a safer alternative, kind of?
It's almost reassuring to hear people from Colorado are also struggling with Creeping Charlie, otherwise known as ground ivy. So though they're the same plant with the same common name, or with different common names, they're best managed in the fall. You can try to hand pull them, but it is very much an uphill battle and normally not a long-term winning strategy. So triclopyr, T-R-I-C-L-O-P-Y-R, is the active ingredient in a selective broadleaf herbicide that will work on controlling the ground ivy or creeping charlie in your lawn and not harm your lawn. You just can't spray it when it's above 84, 85 degrees or so. But in early spring, late fall, that's your best time to manage it.
All right, we need to take a quick break and be back on the other side with more Lawn and Garden Talk. 651, you know the number, 461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long back at it, along with, if you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappe from the University of Minnesota have joined us in studio on my final day here at the Good Neighbors. Nice to have you around. You know the number. Call us or text us with any lawn or garden question you may have. 651-461-9226. And you mentioned it, Julie, and we do like to make mention of that great website. You and your colleagues put a lot of time and effort into that, but that is such great reading. I mean, even if, like in the dead of winter, if you're thinking about
right.
spring,
yeah.
but any time of the year, what are some of the things that people have who have never seen it, Julie and John, what can you find in there?
Well, you can find information about any plant for your garden. I would say probably some things that stand out to me at this time of year are vegetables A to Z. So if you have questions about asparagus or all the way to zucchini, you can find a web page to help you with growing those plants. I'm also a fan of the houseplant section. And as I mentioned earlier, the amaryllis page is a great example. We have a terrific plant selection program called Plant Elements of Design, where you can plug in the conditions that you need to plant in and then go ahead and click search, and it'll come up with any and all plants that are in the 2,000, more or less, give or take a few, plants that are in that database.
Yeah, and of course we've got great, basically all of the things that you would need to know to have, a great healthy lawn. Really great web pages all on most, pretty much the majority of the types of lawn and garden, deeper dives into information you might be able to develop some questions for. They can, there's some more information there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a weeds page too.
That's right. So
that's great.
Also some great information if you're wondering what a weed is or what a particular plant is and then how to manage it.
You know, what I've used it for a couple of times is like looking for trees if I needed to plant a certain type of tree and all that. It's just check it out, extension.umn.edu.
A lot of good videos, too.
Oh, yeah.
Port shorts and also pruning. Pruning, a lot of one big question we get is pruning hydrangeas.
That's got to be one of the best.
And that's a great
video. You correct me. That's got to be one of the best sites in the country, I would think, as far as universities go.
I think we like to think so.
We're a little biased.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe I do. All right, here's another text for you guys. A friend gave me, texter says, no, we did this already, my little lime hydrangea, is there
Yeah,
such
little
a thing?
Lime. Mm-hmm.
Okay, seems healthy. But never flowers, probably because the neighbor's tree has grown and steals the sun. When and how can I move it to a sunnier location? It's about knee high.
You could move it now and, pick a sunny location, dig a good hole, a little bit bigger maybe than the ball of the plant, and then move it and really water it. Take care, particularly because we're in such a dry condition too. And just really, mulch it around the base and give it a lot of TLC for the year, and it'll probably reestablish just fine. It might look a little wilted at first when you first move it, but it will pop back.
Very good. Vanita, come over here. Yeah. Vanita Sarkar is in the studio, and I'd be remiss if I didn't bring my friend into this particular show. Come over here, please. Yes, you were here. You and I, you invited me on your show. That's the least I could do is to bring you in here. And I want you to, now, do you have any kind of a lawn or garden question for our folks?
How can we help?
How long is the show?
Not long enough for some people, they have those questions. I wanted to thank you, first of all, for being a friend, like the song says, and for doing such a great job on this station. You know that Laura Oakes is going to be taking over for me on this, and she's a great writer, as you know. But you both have certainly a command of what you do, but you have such a respect, and your colleagues do too. All you newer people have such a respect for these call letters, and thank you for that.
Oh, it's a huge tradition to keep going. And Denny, this day is about you. We are celebrating you and your legacy, and this station will never be the same without that iconic voice.
Well, okay, I'll believe that. I doubt it. Thank you, Vanita. She was so great. Check Vanita out, of course, every morning here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Had to get a chat with my friend Vanita. All right, let's see. There are so many. We need, there's a call. Todd has been had. Todd, thank you for your patience. Todd and Ramsey, what is your question for Julie and John?
Thanks for taking the call, Denny. One aside quickly. I don't know if younger people can relate, but those of us who have been listening to CCO for decades do know your voice. It's when I turn on the radio Saturday mornings for this particular segment, it's like listening to a friend. So greatly appreciate all the time you've spent there. Now to my garden question. We have a vegetable garden, and we've dealt every year with the normal weeds. But for some reason this year, an abundance of clover. It's virtually end to end, side to side, over the surface of the garden area. I manually removed as much as I could in about a 10 by 10 area, but didn't get to planting my vegetables in there for some other reasons. There were delays, and in just 10 days, it's completely covered with clover again. What's going on? Clover has never been an issue in this garden before.
So does the clover, is it really bright green, and does it have yellow flowers?
Yes.
Okay, that's not actually clover. It's called oxalis. And it is an annual, right, John?
Yeah, it can be both. It can be a weak perennial or an annual.
And it is it's easy to pull out. You just have to kind of stay on top of it. And be sure to stay on top of it before it seeds, because that's what's happened, is that you've got a lot of seed from last year in the soil. And so those are the seeds. They're like second, think of them as like second generation coming up. And so just keep weeding on it. It's actually a pretty easy, as you've probably found, easy plant to pull. I like to use like a narrow hoe or something and just get in there and just, you can just literally come underneath the plant and dig it up. So just stay on top of it. That's the best thing to do.
All right. Thank you.
And thank you, Todd. Thank you for your comments. They're so much appreciated. It's interesting. And Julie and John can see these two interspersed with the gardening questions are a lot of folks who have some great wishes. And it's always fun to pick up on, see messages from people we've traveled with over the last 20 or 30 years. And it's just heard from Jim and Mary Beth Morelli, which reminds me, Jimmy, I got to go buy some groceries at your place there in St. Paul. We had a great time in Lake Como and all those good spots. Nice to hear from you. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Boris calling in from Minneapolis this morning. Boris, good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I had a couple questions, though. One more of an annoyance, really. This cotton seed that floats around the air, I think it's going to start in the next week or so. It's more of a weed, I think. And who in the heck owns one of these trees anyway? You never know where it's coming from, but it fills the whole sky, and it gets in people's air conditioners. It causes all sorts of disturbances. And my other question was, how do you prevent grubs? You know, I see my neighbor's lawn just perfectly lit. It looked like a fairway at the Masters, and in 2 days it looked like a brown carpet. Anyway, I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I actually have a really tall cottonwood, and I feel bad for all my neighbors, but it has some value. It's a native tree. So regarding the grub question, I would first just verify that they're grubs. Typically, grubs, white grubs in a lawn do not work that quickly for causing that type of damage. Normally, when things move that quickly, it's most often a disease, a lawn disease, and there's a few that are active right now. But I would first just verify that they're grubs. Now, if they are in fact white grubs, a preventative insecticide with the active ingredient chlorantraniliprol is the best. We have a page on managing white grubs in lawns that you can learn more about this. But a preventative grub treatment applied before late June should provide season-long control, but only if you have grubs or if you anticipate having grubs.
I tell you what, we're going to break for weather, but for those folks that are regular listeners, you may or may not know that Julie and her husband, Carl, play in a group called The Abiders.
Yes, we do.
We haven't talked about your group for quite some time because I haven't seen you for a while.
Yeah.
When are you guys playing next? Now, when is the album out?
Album should be coming out in July. It's all originals, and we've been recording at Mary Stone Studios in Independence. Our friend Tim Carter's been our producer and also played on the album, so it's cool. We have a really exciting gig coming up June 6th, so a week from today, out at Sundog Farm Concerts. It's in Independence or Maple Plain, somewhere in that area. And you can find out about it and find a link to that site and how to get there and what time and everything on our website at theabiders.net. We also have all of our shows listed there as well. So it's an exciting, it's a farm. They've got a super cool barn. We'll be playing as a trio with my brother, Scott D.
And answering gardening questions in between yeah. sets, right?
We'll be playing from 3 to 5, and we'll work some in there during the intermission.
Where's the album going to be available, by the way?
It will be available online, so you'll be able to get it through our website and link to some of the common streaming services.
Multi-talented Julie Weisenhorn. All right. Stand by. We're going to have a look at that forecast and then more Lawn and Garden Talk here on News Talk A3O WCCO. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here. And if you're just joining us, Julie Weisenhorn and John Trappi in studio visiting us for our Smart Garden Show. And a lot of callers, a lot of texters. Julie and John, you can see it. Tons of questions. We'll see how many folks we can get to. But let's grab a phone call. Dorothy calling in from Minneapolis, I believe, this morning. Thank you, Dorothy. What is your question?
Good morning. And Danny, I just want to wish you the best, too, since you'll be leaving us. We'll miss you.
Thank you very much, Dorothy. I appreciate that so much. And now
my
can
question,
we, yeah.
My question is on Creeping Charlie. I just tuned in now, so maybe you already had answered it. I don't know if you have, but I didn't, because of a medical condition, I didn't get any spraying done this spring. And I've got a lot of Creeping Charlie in my backyard. Is there anything I can do to it at this time?
Yes, there is. It's probably going to take several applications to effectively remove it. Triclopyr is the name of the active ingredient. That's like the ibuprofen of Advil. That's what you would be looking for on the store shelf. You can pick it up and you can find it. Sometimes it's called an oxalis and chickweed killer. But that's where that's the product that you'd be looking for to spray it. And you can spray it. We're starting to get to the point where it's getting to be a little bit too warm. Anytime it's above the low 80s, you can eventually start causing some damage on your lawn if you're trying to also manage other broadleaf weeds like Creeping Charlie or ground ivy.
All right, very good. I'm looking at a whole bunch of lawn questions, Julie and John. One is this texter has a bunch of anthills in the lawn. Can you do about it? Anything about, should you do anything about it?
There's not a whole lot of home remedies like boiling water. You may find some things on forums and things like that that say that that's effective. There's a number of baits that are labeled for use in a lawn. Those typically work the best. Otherwise, you're up to broad spectrum insecticides, and then those have, you know, kind of other effects on other insects. So the baits are what we typically recommend. They just need to be applied when it's dry. So wait until after a morning dew, and they typically will, the bait, they'll take the pellets back down into the colony, and it'll take care of the colony in just a couple of days.
I'm looking at a text. It's not a gardening question. Is it true Denny Long got fired for drinking on the job? No, it's not true. I did have a sip of that champagne, however. Or that sparkling wine, I guess you call it, not champagne. When do I fertilize my tomatoes, a listener wants to know, Julie.
Actively growing. You can do some fertilization now. And I would recommend doing kind of a light fertilization. You want to look for a tomato-oriented fertilizer product. There's a lot of them out there. Or a vegetable fertilizer product. You're really trying to grow fruit with a little bit of help for foliage as well, because that's important for energy to the plant. And just follow the directions on there. Mix it kind of mild. You don't want to apply too much. And good luck. Great tomatoes.
Julie, this listener says, I love rhubarb. Want to plant it in my yard. How do you get it started? How long does it take until you can harvest?
Yeah, go ahead and buy a plant and plant that out. Now, those are going to be somewhat large feeders, or big feeders, we say. They have big leaves. You want to produce a lot of foliage in that case, because it's the petiole, they're not stems, they're petioles that we actually harvest and eat. That's the red part. Canada Red is a good variety for Minnesota gardens, and you could buy a plant now and pop it in. You want to just wait probably a year or two before you start to harvest it, though. Give it a chance to get established and really get into growing nice and big.
Here's a lawn question we get. I'm sure, John, you get this a lot. This texter lives, and they have an HOA, and the contractor that mows the lawn cuts it too short for my liking, they said. What do you recommend for cutting height on a lawn? We get that a lot.
The taller, the better. But, you know, you really start to see the benefits when you're at more than 2.5 inches. So three and a half inches is when if you have a deeper rooted lawn or a taller mown lawn, it's going to be deeper rooted. It's going to be more resistant to weeds like crabgrass, really most weed species. So three and a half inches, four, if you can tolerate it, that's what I would recommend.
Okay. Julie, a texter wants to know, my peony flowers just started to open. The edges are brown and look like they may not fully open. What do you think could be the issue?
Oh, boy. Well, it could be drought. You might want to start watering those peonies. They have huge roots. They're big, meaty-looking, tuberous-type roots. And so they may be just needing some extra water in that respect. I think, too, you might want to do a little fertilization, but, again, really mild, and do it after you water so that you're not burning the roots with that fertilizer. But other than that, we haven't had a lot of humidity, so I'm guessing it must be a droughty condition.
I'm looking at another text that says this. My recent serviceberry bushes only flower on the top. Can I cut them back to gain more flowers? If so, when and how much?
I would cut them back after they fruit because you want to be able to collect that fruit. So my serviceberries right now are green. They have green fruit on them, and they actually need to be pruned as well. And you just want to head those back to a point at which another branch is emerging from the plant. Just kind of give it a shaping. Don't leave any stumpy parts of the plant, but just get back to that joint where another branch comes off of it.
Julie Wisenhorn, John Trappi in from the U of M, answering those lawn and garden questions this morning. Speaking of lawns, texture wants to know, John, does watering the lawn encourage grub development?
Technically, yes, for Japanese beetle white grubs. There's some research that shows that they're a little bit more attracted to irrigated lawns. You know, many insect species that affect our lawns are actually attracted to the healthy lawn itself. So white grubs feed on white fibrous roots. They really don't discriminate on any grass species, though. So yes, they are more attracted to a healthier lawn, but a healthier lawn is going to be more resistant and tolerate more white grub feeding. So we don't tell people to not take care of their lawn in fear of a white grub infestation. So still focus on a dense and healthy turf and, have a lawn that you enjoy and value.
2 days during the recent hot weather, this listener says about half of the lower leaves curled and starting to drop. Is the plant salvageable or should I replace it? Let's see. It is a trumpet vine.
Oh, trumpet vine. So they're pretty vigorous plants. I wouldn't worry too much about that. I as long as it's growing new stems and new leaves on the top, it could be that it's shaded and those leaves are dropping off. It could be from also from dryness as well, or maybe that soil has got some drainage issues. But as long as it's still growing on the top, I wouldn't worry too much about them.
This listener via text says, we have a community garden with a plum grove. What do you recommend for our ground cover to keep the weeds down?
Oh, that's a good question. Thoughts?
fine fescues and white clover. So effectively planting a bee lawn, you'll get some benefit from the pollinators for pollinizing the plums, as well as it might have some other value for the plants in your orchard. So white clover and fine fescues.
Very good. Back to the phones we go. Catherine and Blaine is calling in today. Catherine, good morning.
Good morning, Denny. We're going to miss you so much.
You're very sweet. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for all you do. And I have a question. I have a hibiscus. I brought it in last year. And the top died. Can I save that hibiscus, or what can I do with it?
Well, it sounds like maybe a branch died or so, but if the top of it died but it's still growing at the bottom, you could just cut it back and keep it outside for the summer. It should re-leaf out. Hibiscus can handle pretty tough pruning, cutting them back quite a bit. other than that, if that doesn't seem to resolve it, it may be time for a new one. And there's some gorgeous, gorgeous flowers out there that I have seen, some hibiscus flowers that are really fabulous. So it might be time for a new plant, but it should come back with a good pruning.
Texter says this. I'm sorry, it's not a garden question. I just spotted this. They said, we're going to miss you on Saturday mornings. What do you do? Will you tell us your Monday through what your Monday through Friday job is? As little as possible is my job. After 55 years here at CCO, who knows? Who knows? I'm not sure. Maybe a whole other career.
You'll be really busy.
Maybe I'll try my hand at being a master gardener.
Hey,
no,
yeah,
that's not going to happen. No.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Working in the garden.
You can volunteer with me.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
There you go. Then we can go to lunch.
Yep.
That's
there
what
we
I
go.
Like to do.
Always good to have lunch.
All right. Should we grab another phone call? Let's see who is calling in. Laura is calling in from Bloomington this morning. Hi, Laura. What is your question, please?
Oh, actually, no question for you, Denny. I just wanted to say thanks for being such a great host, and I've just had so much fun joining you on these, like, last year and a half, the Saturday mornings. And if you do become a master gardener, I really wanted to tell you to enjoy more early morning gardening time during your retirement. But if you're going to do master gardening, you can just garden all the time.
I recognize that voice and certainly that name. That's Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M, who is also on the circuit that you guys play here. She's also a regular here on our Smart Garden Show. Laura, thank you so much. Oh, it was always fun working with you, and we will still be listening to you and your colleagues. How's that?
Oh, perfect. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye. Laura Irish Hansen from the U of M. That's great. Do we need to? Yes, we do. We do need to take a quick break. Be right back on the other side with more of our Smart Garden Show here on Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show this Saturday morning. Denny Long, along with Julie Wisenhorn and John Trappi from the University of Minnesota. Yeah, if you're still thinking about a lawn and a question, this is your day today to ask John those particular questions. John and Julie, great to have both of them in the studio. This is my final day here on the radio. And my boss said, hey, come down, do it from the studio. And I thought, yeah, that's apropos. And it is my pleasure to have worked with this great producer here, Ryan Perpich. Ryan, this is your last day as well, and you should be getting most of the accolades here. Because you got to do all the heavy lifting.
Oh, you make everything too easy for me, Denny. You know, I appreciate that because some Saturdays I'm coming in. You know, I don't know, my head hurts for some reason, and, you know, I maybe feel a little queasy, and you just make it all better for me. You know, if I have a late Friday night, an early Saturday, I always have something to look forward to, and it's always been just a pleasure hearing your soothing voice and learning the trades from a real professional like yourself.
Well, you're very kind, and I kind of used to live that same lifestyle way back when, but what is that old line? Had I known I would have lived this long, I would have taken better care of myself. So you take better care of yourself.
I'll try.
All right. Here's a text, you guys. I am an urban beekeeper. Good for you. And we have a bunch of weeds, but I want to know what I could use on the weeds that will not harm the bees.
Yeah, there's a number of different products. I think it really just comes down to the labels themselves. And the chemical companies have done a much better job either, you know, for whichever reasons for indicating if there is a known risk to pollinators. So that's one thing is, you know, it's really broad to say. I mean, many different broadleaf herbicides are not known to have negative of effects on pollinators, but I would just have to check. You just have to check the pesticide labels. Now, with that said, you can also do things like treating at night when the bees are not active, or treating in very early spring and very late fall after the bees have already gone, but the weeds themselves can still take in those chemicals. Those tend to be the best times to manage those weeds. Unfortunately, right now is when they're flowering and they're most active or most apparent. But very early spring, late fall, that's when I would be looking to do it if I was absolutely determined to make sure I have as little impact on the bees as possible.
You know, before the show ends, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the Arboretum. I mean, you guys hang out there. You're lucky to be out there as often as you are. What is going on? A great time of year. One of my favorite places in the whole world.
Yeah, well, I think this is the last weekend of the May markets, which are a whole array, I think up to 60 different vendors, artists, jewelry makers, pottery. They are happening at the Arboretum. There's also the azaleas that are blooming.
Gorgeous.
And they are fantastic. Yeah, they're gorgeous. Every color of the rainbow. They're located up in the Pine Collection, which, by the way, has a prestigious certification, I would guess you'd call it. I don't know if that or of being a very broad collection. I think there's over 200 species of pines that we have at the Arboretum. And those azaleas are growing right down the middle of the Pine Collection. And so it's a really fun place to walk. It's on 3 Mile Drive, and you can drive out to the area by the ornamental grasses and park in there, which, by the way, is Mary Meyer's collection that she curates. Also a really awesome thing to see at this point. But there's a lot of really great trees that are blooming, some of the more mature trees, black cherry and black locusts and some of the other plants like that. So, yeah, just gorgeous. And, of course, the annual displays are beautiful up around the building.
Get out there, Highway 41 and 5, that's the closest. Now, there's going to be a new entrance eventually, right?
There is. It's going to be at Minnewashta Parkway and Highway 5, and they have already planted all the trees, which is really encouraging to see after all the trucks and dump trucks and soil being moved around. But yes, do bear in mind, it might take you a little bit longer to get there just because of all this road construction that we have around Minnesota and out then there in that area.
Let us grab another phone call this morning, if we may. Sheila is calling in from Lakeville, excuse me, this morning. Sheila, good morning. What is your question, please?
Good morning, and I apologize if someone asked this before. I just tuned in. What can you tell me about the new herbicide, Spruce?
Yeah, there's so I think that's more of a brand name, and I think that those are just meant to be lower toxicity. Quite frankly, I don't know the active ingredients in them, but I have seen them myself. I unfortunately can't tell you much more than that. I think you just have to check the active ingredients on it. I'm sorry. I wish I had a better response.
All right. I'm looking at another text. There are so many, and I apologize ahead of time here that not being able to answer all these questions. We thank you for them. Now, this listener said, we used to have a spot in our yard that was a garden of some sort. We took that out about 3 years ago and replanted all of the grass. And this year, that section is dead, and it's a perfect square of where the garden was. Do you have any tips on or know why that might have happened?
Yeah, normally it's not something in the soil. People, I think they kind of overestimate, you know, the lasting effects. What it most likely was the source of grass seed. Maybe it was some annuals mixed in it with it. We have a great webpage called Buying Grass Seed for Minnesota Lawns. That will walk you through as far as, you know, what to plant, when to plant it, and even where to find the grass seed. So I would revisit that and try that again. Just make sure that you're buying something that's adapted for the site and for how you're planning on using it.
Okay. Looks like this texter has a grass problem invading my flower garden. Beyond pulling it blade by blade, is there anything I can do?
Yeah, I think, again, I would get a hoe out and get in there and start taking it out. And, yeah, really it's just hand weeding at that point. You don't want to treat it with anything. It's just a matter of pulling it. It's probably from the seed. Either the grass went to seed, or when you were seeding your lawn, some of it maybe blew into your garden at that point. It happens in my garden, too. And I'm down there pulling it out most of the time.
This listener would like you both to comment on leaving insects to live. Texter says, I've never used insecticides, herbicides, and have about half an acre of natives from grasses to shrubs and trees, like service berries. When neighbors started insecticides, nearly all the insects are gone. It's a trade-off.
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, in some cases it's because of the neighbors. In some cases it's because of the loss of habitat. So it may or may not be because of the insecticides. You know, as far as my perspective, I treat all pesticides as a last resort, not as the first tool. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about them, but you know, because of the format, you know, we're direct to the answer without a whole lot of context. But absolutely, and good for you for you know, for promoting that habitat doing your best for providing that habitat for those insects.
Yeah, I would just keep doing what you're doing, and also remember that populations of insects do fluctuate. They go up and down as predators, as their populations grow, and then also as John mentioned, as habitat or, you know, the conditions may not be favorable to them. So just keep doing what you're doing with the native plants. That's wonderful.
Guys, we're out of time. We got about 20, 30 seconds to go. I want to personally thank you. It's been so much fun working with you and teaching me a whole lot of stuff that I hope to retain.
I think you could have your own gardening show.
Yeah. Well, maybe someday, right? If you'll join me.
Could have a podcast.
But again, get on the university website, extension.umn.edu. Get to the Arboretum. And you guys enjoy the summer, will you?
Yeah. Thank you, Denny, for all that you've done for Extension.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Denny.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Julie and John from the University of Minnesota.